join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Better with audience participation, and we did bring candy for your participation tonight. Pastor Tim was my children's pastor growing up, and anytime I wanted candy, I either had to take notes during service and show them to him, or we had to memorize a scripture and recite it to him, and we could get candy. So that's what we spent our services doing, planning how we were going to get candy after the service. But we have it for you tonight, and I was not here last week. I put together the sound clips and all for y'all to do the voice, and I heard that it went over well. And so we are actually going to have The Voice Episode 2 tonight. Get ready. All right, so for our blind auditions, we're going to call you out. Okay, no, we do not actually want to hear your voices tonight in that way. But last week we did movie quotes, and y'all seem to be pretty good at that. So this week we're taking it a step further, and we are doing popular songs. And this should cover all the generations. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to play a song. When you know it, raise your hand and tell me if you recognize either the song or the voice that's singing the song or both. All right? Are you ready for the first one? Are you ready to play? Okay. Sweetheart, I'm Alabama. Who sings it? Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Kim is coming for her blind audition now. All right. Very good. Now, this next one is for those of you who do not listen to or approve of secular music. This one is for you. Anyone. Okay, you're saying the words that are in the song. That's good. Take me back, dear Lord. Okay, do you know who sings it? Andre Crouch. All right, so clearly most of you like secular music since y'all were not as familiar with that one. Okay, the next one is for our younger generation. You know it, Vivi? Call me. She doesn't know it, but she's singing it. So I'm not sure I believe her. Okay. Carly Rae Jepsen singing Call Me Maybe. A very dumb song that is quite catchy. Okay, this next one is for our older generation. Hey Jude, and who sings it? The Beatles. Okay, please note, you do only get a piece of candy if you raise your hand because we are children's pastors and that is the way we roll. So if you want candy, you're gonna have to raise your hand and answer the question. Another one for our non-secular folks. Feel free to worship. What is it? Gaither. It's the Gaithers. That's correct. And does anyone know the song? Because He Lives. And because I like to throw back sometimes, I actually have this song on my iPod, that version of it. And I'm not ashamed. Of course Christy would know this one. She's from Deer Park. All right, and who sings that? Billy Ray Cyrus. I thought of the Cyrus family, we'd be safer with Billy Ray Cyrus than Miley Cyrus, so you're welcome for that. Okay, this next one is Pastor Clint's favorite song. Julia, Eye of the Tiger. Do you know who sings it? Survivor. Never heard of Survivor before, but that is a good song. Okay, these next two are similar in lyrics and completely different in style. So first up, okay, hold on. This is for the younger ones in the crowd. Vivi knows all of these hip-hoppy ones, the teeny bopper ones. Anyone? Vivi. Baby, 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 whatever, which is not officially the title, but that is Justin Bieber. And Vivi, would you say you have Bieber fever? Have you ever had Bieber fever? Good, good. I'm glad you're not sick with Bieber fever. Okay, this next one, like I said, similar lyrics, completely different style. Baby Baby by Amy Grant. Robin really wanted to answer that one. Maybe the next one. Okay, we have about five more. This next one, a little backstory, was actually sung to my mom in high school, and it is in the yearbook, the picture of this happening. You cannot answer, you are disqualified. Okay. You know what it is. Let Kim Babson answer this one. This song is about you. You're so vain. What did she say? Nope, it's not Carole King, but you can still have a candy for your enthusiasm. Kelly Blount. Carly Simon. All right. I knew that would get some of y'all. Y'all are pretty good at this. See, I knew y'all heard voices. This is all about hearing voices, and I knew you did it. All right, the next one. She wants a candy. Juliana wants a candy. This is not a worship song, Mindy, so you can put your hand down. Oh, Shannon Bailey. Yes, Savage Garden. Okay, very good. Okay, just a few left, but don't worry, there will be other chances to earn candy today. Shay. Whitney Houston. May God rest her soul. Okay. All right, three more. All right. She might not have been the first to raise her hand, but she was the loudest. Okay, favorite group. Okay, this next one I played on the piano growing up and sang to many a friend over the years. But I've never sung it to Mindy. Y'all are both disqualified. You're disqualified too. You have to wait for it. Huh? Not this one. You just liked that one. That's okay. So did Michelle. Robin. Okay, you both get candy. And now I would like to dedicate this song to my dear friend Pam, because friends are friends forever. Okay, this is the very last one. I'm not going to sing it to you, though. No, that's not going to happen. I'll just lip sync it. I won't even do that. Okay, but you still feel the love, right, Pam? Okay, Tim. Michael Jackson, Thriller. And who knows the dance? And who is not going to do the dance tonight? Please raise your hand. All right. Oh, there might have been some Thriller moves at my wedding. Speaking of my wedding, if you would turn your attention to the screen. Okay, so now that we're all here and participating, and some of you have candy, we are actually going to get to the Word of God tonight. Not quite yet, but we are going to get there. But like I said, tonight, Pastor wanted us to come and continue his series on The Voice. And from what I hear last week, I was sick, but I did listen to the podcast. Y'all talked about hearing the voice of God. So I'm going to just kind of review that tonight with you guys. Y'all can help me. And then in a little bit, my husband's going to come and talk about hearing the voice of the enemy. So I'm going to be talking about God. He's going to be talking about the enemy. You can draw your own conclusions from that. But we do want to have fun tonight. Many of you know that we are the children's leaders here, and so you may have never heard us speak on a Wednesday night, but if you have children, then they hear us every Sunday. So we thought we would kind of add in some kids' church elements to make it fun, and because they have a very short attention span, but I grew up in a family where at least half the population has a very short attention span. So I know there are some of you out there like that, and we're here to help you tonight because we love you. Okay, so we're just going to jump right in, and we're talking about hearing God's voice. So we're talking about why it's important to hear God's voice, what the purpose is, how do we do that. And so I have written down some just ideas that I got from last week and from the Bible, which is a good place to get ideas. And so why it's important to hear God's voice, what is the purpose of it? Number one, it gives peace. The Bible says in Philippians, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I am not going to be talking about my wedding tonight, but I might talk about my relationship with my husband. But The voice of God, it gives you peace. And when we were dating, which was a very long 6-year journey, long distance, we needed some peace to try to figure out if we should, you know, date or if we should not. We were long distance. And it was pretty hard. There was a lot of nights that I called Aaron and was like, I just don't know. You should move on. I can't make up my mind. But I would pray, God, give us peace or take away our peace, but let us know one way or another. And there were a lot of times that I said, I don't have a peace about it right now, which I thought was no, but Aaron thought it was just a not right now. And he always said, you'll be my wife one day. And Aaron says, aww. And it worked out. But that was during those times. I mean, I remember saying, Lord, I'll lay out a fleece before you. Just show me the way. I just want to hear your voice. And I never heard God's audible voice, but he spoke to me many times throughout that journey through giving me peace or taking away my peace, and it worked out. So 6 years later, the Lord did speak to me many times throughout that, and I'm sure him too, but we made it, and we are together. And we had a wonderful wedding on September 1st. Segway. But one of the reasons, I mean, why it's important to hear God's voice is it gives peace, but that peace leads to bringing direction into our life. And there's a lot of times that that's why we need to hear God's voice is because we don't know the next step. I remember one night in Leader's Edge, Pastor said, we're going to pray tonight. So we all came into the sanctuary and we started praying. And he said, now for the next few minutes, I just want you to declare this scripture over you. And don't say anything else, but pray this scripture. And it's from Isaiah 30, 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And it stuck with me because we said it literally probably over 100 times. Were any of you there that night? These two, Shay and Joey, and they probably have it memorized, right? But there have been so many times in my life where I've needed direction, and that scripture has come to my mind. Whether you look to the left or to the right, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Another reason why it's important to hear God's voice, he provides restoration through that. He gives us hope. A lot of good things like that. But then there's also moments where it can be a rebuke or a correction or conviction. I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to hear the Lord's voice about something that I really need direction in, sometimes it can be a little difficult. But if it's something that I need to be corrected in, then I like can hear him very clearly and instantly. And of course, that's the easiest time to hear God's voice is when he's saying, mm-mm, don't go that way. But the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that was actually our kids' church memory verse, which I thought was kind of long last month, but all of the kids got it. And so maybe your children still know that. Hopefully they do. But so those are some of the reasons why it's important to hear God's voice. But how many of you have ever heard that the Bible has the answer to everything? Okay, so you try to look in the Bible, and of course it is a guidebook, and it does show us how to walk and how to live our life, but it doesn't always answer the personal situations, like who should I marry, or what should my next career path be? I know one for me that was huge was when I was in high school, trying to figure out where to go to college. It's a really big decision for a high schooler, because you don't really know what you're doing anyway. But I'll just tell y'all a story because it's one of my favorite stories, and this is one of the times that I always look back to about hearing God's voice in my life. There are times you need to look back and say, I'm not crazy. I have heard the Lord's voice before, and it was very clear then. But when I was in high school, I really wanted to go to Evangel. Daniel and Kimberlyn just got accepted to Evangel, so they're going to be going in the fall. So now we have a few more people. But Evangel University is a private Christian school in Missouri, and it's where a lot of my family went. And so I really wanted to go to school there. But my lovely parents said, we're not going to sign any school loans for you, which is not a bad idea, to be honest. They didn't want me to be in debt over my head. And they said, we can help you go to school, but not to Evangel, because it's very expensive, to the tune of about $20,000 a year. But I really wanted to go there, and so I was praying, Lord, let it work out. Show me the way. But as school started to come to an end, I was getting close to graduating, and it wasn't working out. So I went ahead and applied to U of H, and I thought, this is the way I'm going to go. But I've asked the Lord to make it clear to me. And I asked the Lord, if you want me to go to Evangel, you're going to be the one to provide, because no one else can, and I can't go there. But since nothing had come up yet, I decided to go to U of H. And it was about 2 weeks before I graduated. I got a call from the school, and they said, we want you to come to the awards ceremony tonight, and we want you to dress up and sit on the stage. We're going to have a place for you. So I'm like, okay, I didn't care. I was just ready to get out of school. I didn't know what that meant, but I showed up there, and on that night, I received 3 or 4 different scholarships. Some that I hadn't even applied for, and it was just enough to cover my first semester in college. And so I said, okay, I asked the Lord to speak to me. He spoke to me through his provision, and it was enough for one semester. So I went to school for that one semester, and I prayed that whole semester. Of course, by that time, I was in love with the school, and I had all kinds of friends. I was having the time of my life, and I was like, I don't want to go home. But at the end of the semester, I'm in the same situation. And so I prayed the same thing again, Lord, show me the way. If you want me to be here, you're going to have to provide for me. And he did. The rest of the year was paid for through lots of different people, my parents and family members that pitched in to help me. But we made it happen that first year, and I went home in the summer really thinking, I don't know if it's going to happen next year, but I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to pray the same thing I've been praying. And we had one of my mom's cousins call and sometime during the summer and say, are you going back to Evangel? And I said, I really don't know at this point. I'm kind of waiting to decide. She said, well, pack your bags and go, and on your way out of town, stop by my house, and I have something for you. So I'm like, okay. So I did, and I didn't know exactly what it meant, but I was hoping what it meant. And so I packed my bags, and we stopped by her house, and she gave me a check for $10,000 for that school year. And little by little, she ended up paying. She and scholarships and other things ended up paying my way through school. So I graduated from a private Christian school, which would have cost me about $80,000, and I graduated debt-free. And that is one of the best testimonies that I have to look back on, to know, first of all, you can pray and ask God and wait. I didn't know how he was going to answer me. I thought it would have been easier every semester when I was praying, you know, what's going to happen next semester. It would have been easier to hear a voice saying, everything's going to be okay, but I had to trust each time that he was going to provide, and that's how I heard the Lord's voice. And I've looked back on that a lot of different times throughout my life to say, I need that to happen again. That, maybe not that, but different things in my life. So I'm going to wrap up because it actually is my husband that's going to speak tonight, and he was worried that I was going to talk the whole time, and it's happening. We were going to do team teaching, and I was like, that's fun, because I was picturing like me and him up here together, but he was worried I was going to talk the whole time, so I was like, well, I'll do the front part, and you finish up, but here we are. Okay, ways you hear God's voice is knowing his nature. I think this is one of the biggest things, and sometimes it's the most overlooked because we think we need to hear from him, but I think sometimes the way we hear from him is by knowing his heart. The closer we get to him, the more we know his heart. And I think the best example I have for this is knowing my boss. I've worked here for 5 years now, and this has been pretty much my only adult job since I graduated school, and he's pretty much been my only boss. So I know him very well. And there's things that I don't even have to ask him because I already know what he's gonna say. I already know his answer. I already know how he would handle that situation because I know him and I know his nature. And I think that's the kind of relationship that we want to have with the Lord. It's not that we can't go to him and ask for things big and small, ask for help, but the more we develop that relationship with him and know him, the more we understand his heart and know. We already know what his answer is. We already know which direction we should go because we know his nature. So I think that's one of the things that we overlook, but that's one of the best ways to know God's voice. And some of the other things, scripture, of course, wise counsel. I've used some of you as wise counsel, Pam, a lot, because I'm in the office with her every day, and I need her counsel sometimes. Prayer, preaching, other believers, these are all ways that you can hear God's voice. And, of course, I don't know if y'all do this, but I have heard the Lord speak to me many times through songs, song lyrics. Not exactly the kind of songs we just listened to, like Call Me Maybe or Thriller, but I have actually heard the Lord speak to me through song lyrics before. And so anyway, those are ways you hear God's voice. And now coming to talk about the enemy. No, I'm kidding. That's a terrible introduction. Let me make it a little better. My husband is coming right now because it is sometimes difficult to hear God's voice, but one of the reasons that's difficult is because sometimes the enemy's voice can disguise itself and try to look like God's voice or our voice or something like that. And so my husband is coming, and he's going to be talking about hearing the enemy's voice and how you do not do that. All right? Would you clap for him?
Thank you for clapping. Now I want to make a few things clear after she spoke. She talked about two different husbands. The husband that said, no, I'll wait for you. I know we're going to get married one day, the sweet husband. And the husband that told her she talks too much. I'm the previous, okay? Just so everyone makes it clear. And just to clarify, when she talks to Pam in the office and seeks counsel, she said counsel, not counseling. Just so y'all know, okay? No, we're okay. We're okay. But what is not okay is the enemy's voice. It is a very, very bad thing. And unfortunately, we hear it, and we hear it a lot. In order to understand the enemy's voice and what it is and what it does, we have to understand the purpose of the enemy's voice. Now, the enemy's voice has three different elements, and the way that we can tell it's the enemy's voice, there's three different ways that we can do that. Number one, it will always contradict Scripture. The enemy's voice will always contradict Scripture. The best example of this is when Jesus himself was tempted in the garden. And although the enemy used Scripture to tempt him, it contradicted what it said somewhere else in the Bible. So that's one way that we can know that it's the enemy's voice. Number two, the enemy's voice will always have a bent towards selfishness. Selfishness, I believe, is the root of all sin. If we are not being selfish, if we are not thinking about ourselves, then we are going to do what is pleasing to the Lord. Then we are going to do what is pleasing to our spouse. We're going to do what's pleasing to our family. But if we're stuck on selfishness, that's where pride comes in. That's where disrespect comes in. That's where cheating and stealing comes in. The third thing is the purpose of the enemy's voice is to hold an ulterior motive. So the enemy is... he's a sly little devil, you know? And He is the devil. Thank you. He is the devil. Yes. The enemy's voice will hold an ulterior motive. He will tell you something for a different purpose to get you to do something. So, say for an example, right now, my wife and I have been in a mode. What? Okay. We have been in a mode of paying off debt. That is what we are focused on right now. That is completely our focus. So we've been praying and seeking God. God, how is this going to happen? Because we know that you have called us to do this right now. How is it going to happen? We cannot do it on our own. We need your help. And so some of the things that the Lord has, or that I felt the Lord has maybe been telling me is, hey, look for another job that can give you more income. And so as I'm doing that, and maybe something gets, I get rejected for a certain position, the enemy can come in and say, hey, you know, you weren't good enough for that job, but try again. And so I try again and try again and try again. All the while, he is trying to break me down, break down my self-worth, and just make me feel not good enough. And so that would be an ulterior motive that the enemy would have by saying, hey, go and apply for this job. That one's for you. Okay? We know the enemy. We know who he is. He is the opposite of God. And we know that he solely exists for three purposes. And we find that in John 10:10. His purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's right. So every single thing that he does is for those three things. And the enemy has been around a lot longer than you and I have. And if those are the only three things that he is focused on, he's probably gotten pretty good at them. He probably knows what tactics to use for women, what tactics to use for men, what tactics to use for elderly people, what tactics to use for newlyweds, what tactics to use for people that are considering having children, what tactics that, you know, for every single person, every stage in your life, he probably has certain tactics that he likes to use to get a hold of you. So sometimes some of those tactics are to confuse us into thinking that the enemy's voice is sometimes our voice or the enemy's voice is sometimes God's voice. Hypothetically speaking, let's say there was a single lady looking for a mate, Mindy. Okay. Mindy, don't be embarrassed, because hypothetically, I have found you the perfect... Hypothetically, I found the perfect man for you. He is tall, he is handsome, he loves the Lord, and he is wealthy. There was a hypothetically placed in that sentence. Okay. But I am still looking for you and with you. Okay. So this man is extremely wealthy.
Yes.
Okay, isn't that awesome? I knew you would love it, and okay, I got her back. I won her over. Okay, this man is extremely wealthy. And so let's look at what his wealth, how that would sound like when you are trying to decide whether or not you want to spend the rest of your life with him based on that. Whether it is the enemy's voice, whether it is Mindy's voice, or whether it is God's voice. If it's the enemy's voice, it may sound something like this.
Hey, Mindy. Hey, Mindy, if you marry this guy, you can have nice clothes, nice car, nice house. You would have to hire a maid. You wouldn't have to work. You wouldn't even have to clean your own house. That is awesome. Do it. Do it, Mindy. Do it.
Okay, that may sound like the devil. Okay, and then for Mindy, her voice would sound something like... I'm going to try to do my best Mindy impression. Don't hate me. Well, this guy is very wealthy, and, you know, he's handsome, he's wealthy, and he'll take care of me. He'll take care of all of my needs. That is awesome. I should do it. And my cats. And he'll pay my bills. And he'll pay all my bills and my cat's bills. Okay, so that may be what Mindy's idea, like Mindy's voice speaking of wealthy. Or then let's move over to God's voice. And I'm not going to attempt God's voice because I don't want y'all to think that I hear God's voice audibly all the time. But God's voice could sound something like, hey, Mindy, he is wealthy, which means that he is a hard worker, that he has been faithful in his tithes and offering, and so therefore I've been able to bless him. Now, do you see how the same scenario, you can hear it three different ways? And the first one was, hey, you can have all these nice things and you don't have to work and you can be lazy. That had a selfish bent towards it, don't you think? Okay, so that was probably the enemy. But herself, she was focused when she heard her voice. it was, okay, I can be taken care of. I will be good, which is something that we all, our flesh desires, our flesh needs. You know, in school, I learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Does anybody know what that is? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That is the needs, the basic needs of human beings. So at the very base of it is food and shelter and water. And then you go up one, and that is relationships and social interactions. And then you keep on going up, and it's a job and it's money and different things like that on the way up. So she, as a human, is going to be concerned about those basic things. But then when it's God, God is not concerned about providing for Mindy because God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. But God is showing Mindy that, hey, the mate that you may find suitable is good in my eyes. He is faithful and he is blessed. That's kind of what God would look at. Thank you, Mindy, for letting me use you as an example. I promise you, your voice is not as annoying as mine was. Okay? I know that was annoying. So, sometimes we can mistake the enemy's voice for our voice. And we hear the enemy's voice and we think it's just us. Oh, I'm not good enough. Man, I wish I could look like that. Or I wish this things could be different. Sometimes the voice of the enemy becomes so great and so familiar that we mistake it as our own. How often are we listening to the enemy's voice? I promise you that the enemy's voice is always going to be there. It's going to be constant in our ear because the enemy wants us to fail. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy us, especially when we stand up and do something amazing for the Lord, especially when we have an amazing calling like each and every one of us do, especially when the Lord is going to use us as an example to win over our friends and our family and our unsaved loved ones. That's when the enemy is going to work his hardest. So we begin to believe the lies that the enemy has told us because we do not realize it's the enemy's voice. This is where insecurities, misguided dreams, and selfishness creep in. So let's look at the Garden of Eden, okay? And Adam and Eve were there, and they were so happy naming lions and birds and toucans and all this cool stuff, okay? And they're in the Garden of Eden, and then we should all know the story. The enemy comes in and tempts Eve and says, hey, why don't you eat this fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then you will know. You will be like God. You will know everything. Okay? So after the initial temptation and a little bit more probing from Satan, Eve has to justify her actions before she actually does it. That is where hearing the enemy's voice can sound like our voice. When we begin to justify sinful actions that we know are not right, but we begin to try to convince ourselves. That is a way that the enemy, that is a tactic that the enemy can use to make us feel like it is our own voice. Sometimes we can mistake it for God's voice. So just because we're going through the motions of Christianity, just because we are in church tonight, just because we raise our hands in church, just because we even tithe or give or go on mission trips does not mean that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is to be a Christ follower, to have a relationship with Christ, to strive for holiness because he is holy, to strive for sanctification. That's what Christianity is. So sometimes we can go through all those motions. Some of the best example of people like this in the Bible are the Pharisees. Okay? Now, I was studying for this, and I wanted to use the verse that Jesus says that Satan is the father of lies. But what I discovered is in that chapter is just a massive rebuke from Jesus to the Pharisees. Okay? And so, Tom, if you want to bring that up, it is John 8, 42 through 47. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." So Jesus is speaking to them directly, but yet they are so caught up in the voices going on inside their head that they cannot even hear Jesus' voice. They cannot distinguish between the enemy's voice, their voice, and God's voice. Let's continue. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth to him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus is telling them that you belong to Satan because you are listening to his voice. That's a rebuke. That's a massive rebuke. I mean, I know Jesus had his issues with the Pharisees anyway, but man, you know? That's massive. He's telling them that they belong to the father of lies. And not only that, but lying is Satan's native language. That's what he has done. His whole existence is lie. So that becomes his native language. Let's move on. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God. If you are having trouble hearing God, ask God to reveal things in your heart that may not be where they need to be. Ask God. He'll speak to you. He'll reveal it. If that is truly your desire, he will speak to you and he will reveal those things to you. So Jesus rebukes the Pharisees because they claim to be children of God, yet they cannot discern the voices. So, in other words, it sounds like the enemy's voice can sometimes become a counterfeit of the Lord's voice. What is counterfeit? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, counterfeit is made in imitation so as to be passed off fraudulently or deceptively as genuine, not genuine or forged. Whatever God has created, the enemy has created a counterfeit to use against him and against his people. Take music. God created worship so that we could worship him. The Bible says numerous times that the angels are singing, holy, 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 that we will be up there, that we'll worship him all the time. Yet the enemy has taken music and taken worship and distorted it into some nasty music that we have today. And so the enemy thinks he's clever because he's using what God has made meant for good. He's using it for evil. Another aspect of that is sex. God created sex. Okay, God created it for the marriage bedroom. God created it for pleasure and for reproduction. We know that because it says that in the Bible. Yet the enemy has taken it and perversed our world to make it into a stronghold that so many people struggle with. You cannot go down the street without seeing some sort of ad. You cannot go down the street or watch TV without seeing something sexual that the enemy has used to distort our thinking into trapping us into that trap so he can steal, so he can kill, so he can destroy us. That's what counterfeit is. Some other counterfeits. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has plenty of counterfeits. Okay, what is one counterfeit of Coca-Cola? Pepsi is a counterfeit of Coca-Cola. What's another one? RC Cola. Man, that brings me back to my childhood. RC Cola. Sam's Club. What is that soda called? Cola. Sam's Club Cola. Okay, you got me there. We have Twinkies, and then we have cloud cakes. What's a cloud cake? That's dumb. Okay. We have Cheetos and fake Cheetos. I don't even know what they are. But right now, I need Misty Bacon to come up, please. Seriously. We told you guys that we do kids' church all the time, and so a kid couldn't listen to that amount of stuff. And there comes Misty acting like a wonderful, mature adult. Come on up. Misty, you are going to play a game called Real or Fake. It's a game that I just made up the name of. But you are going to tell us which, you're going to consume different foods. You're going to tell us which is the real version of it and which is the counterfeit version of it, okay? And I have my lovely assistant, Casey, up here. She's beautiful and lovely and has red hair. We're getting to the game. Okay. Y'all stop. You're ruining my game. Okay. So we have Coca-Cola and we have Cola. Okay. So, Casey, I was going to call her Miss Casey. That's what I call her in front of the kids. Miss Casey, will you please pour a little bit of soda into each one of the cups, and we're going to see if Misty can distinguish between the real and the counterfeit. Okay, Misty, here is your first drink. It is right there. You could take a sip of it and tell me. You'll take a sip of the number one, and then you'll take a sip of number two and tell me which is which. That is real Coke. Let's see if you think differently after tasting this. It doesn't have a smell, she said. Okay. But it tastes the same. So is A or B real Coca-Cola? Misty Bickin. You cannot phone a friend because that is the wrong game. Number one is the real cola. So you're Coca-Cola. Good job, Misty. We're not done yet. So the second one was a very good counterfeit if it tasted exactly the same, right? Okay, second, we have Oreos. We have real Oreos that are awesome and kind of my downfall. And then we have Kroger Original Chocolate Sandwich Cookies. Okay? Casey is going to give you one cookie. You take a bite. That is A. Okay. Now she's going to hand you the second cookie. She wanted to keep that cookie. There is a second one. This is B. B is the Oreo. Correct. Good job, Misty. She is 2 for 2, ladies and gentlemen. This next one is a little bit harder because my wife couldn't, she did not cook it, no. But she did taste test as she was setting up the table, okay? She told me that she taste tested. These are Cheetos. So we have original Chester Cheetos Crunchy, and we have Crunchy Cheese Curls. Alrighty? They look the same, but do they taste the same? Here is A. It's going in your hand. It feels like a Cheeto. It smells like a Cheeto. Tastes like a Cheeto. That is A. Here we go with B. It feels like a Cheeto, but it's not as crisp. And she's sniffing it. And it doesn't smell like a Cheeto. That is not a Cheeto.
Or it's stale.
Okay. Well, Misty, the second one was a real bag of Cheetos, okay? So you got that wrong. So that means the counterfeit Cheeto was good enough to fool you, which is what? And we should all start eating cheese crunch curls. Yes, amen. No, we're not done. Now, we have a Russell Stover solid milk chocolate bunny rabbit, okay? It's Russell Stover. You can't get any better than Russell Stover. Hey, that's good. So Miss Casey, as the kids know her by, is going to give you a bite of that. It's not from last year's Easter, I promise. Okay? So is that one the real Russell Stover, or is this one the real Russell Stover? No, not his ear. He won't be able to hear you. Which is the real Russell Stover, A or B? You're wrong again. Whoa. A is the real Russell Stover. This other one, I can't even read the brand, but its eyes are like bugging out. They're massive. Misty, thank you so much. Please take off. Give her a round of applause. Okay, so that just goes to show you how good or how alike, how the same counterfeit can be. Okay, so now that we've dabbled into knowing and understanding the enemy's voice and what it exists for and what its purpose is, we can now do what we need to do to overcome the enemy's voice. One of my favorite scriptures in the entire Word of God is found in Luke 10:19, and it is, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions." I'm from New Mexico. That's why that's my favorite scripture. There's scorpions. I'm just kidding. Okay. To trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. We are children of God. He has adopted us into his lineage. He has died on the cross so that we can have eternity, and he has deposited the authority of Jesus Christ within us so that we cannot be harmed by the enemy. That is what God has done for us. So whenever we're feeling down, whenever we're feeling afraid, whenever we're feeling attacked by the enemy, all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus and use the authority that he has given to us in order to make the enemy flee, because he does not belong to us. We do not belong to him. We belong to God. Okay? We have the authority. We have the authority to overcome the enemy's voice. How do we do that? My wife touched on this a little bit earlier. We need to have a relationship with God. If we do not have a relationship with God, we have no idea what God's voice sounds like. If we do not have a relationship with God, the enemy isn't even going to try as hard on us because we're not doing anything worth killing, stealing, or destroying. Okay? So in order to build a relationship, conversation, I'd say, is useful. If I didn't converse with my wife, it would probably be 16 years before we'd get married instead of 6. Okay, but my wife likes to talk, okay? She is a talker. If you've had a I tell her, I like to talk to you, I love to talk. But I told her, you know, a few weeks ago, Casey, love of my life, I have never been so dominated in conversation in my life. Sometimes we're driving home from church and, you know, and she's talking, and we get home, and I look, and I'm like, I have said okay, uh-huh, and sure this entire way home. Okay, uh-huh, and sure. But I know that when it's time for me to talk, I can talk about my day. We converse daily. That is one thing that in our premarital counseling with the Fowlers that John Fowler told me and Mary told Casey is to dialogue daily. We need to dialogue daily, talk daily. That is what builds a relationship. And talking to God, that's prayer, right? Not just talking, but also listening. That's right. You guys are better than the kids sometimes. Okay. So, another thing that we can do to build our relationship with God. This is one of my favorite things to think about, is that inside of us, there's a constant battle between our spirit man and between our flesh man, okay? And it's almost like a scale. So if one is increasing, the other one is decreasing, or vice versa. So if we keep on feeding into our temptations, if we keep on being places that we know we shouldn't be based on our temptations, that is only feeding our flesh man. If we keep on making selfish decisions, that is feeding our flesh man. And at the same time, diminishing our spirit man. However, when we feed our spirit man, our flesh man diminishes. One of the best ways we know to do that is our prayer language. The Bible says that the prayer language is useful for edifying the spirit. That means building up the spirit. And the spirit man cannot be lifted up unless the flesh diminishes. Okay, another way we can do that is by fasting. That is the best way that I know to do that is by fasting. In other words, we're telling our flesh, our physical body, that spiritual food is more important than physical food. That our spiritual food is what we are going to seek because that's what we need to live off of. But it's okay if we do not eat a burger for lunch. That's okay. So fasting is a good way to do that. That's where we learn the phrase, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what that phrase is that when Christ increases in us, our flesh, our earthly desires naturally decrease. Another way that I know to overcome the voice of the enemy is by using the Word of God and quoting Scripture. We need to read the Word of God in order to know what it says. That is obvious. But not only is the Word of God stories of what happened in the Bible, but we know it's the infallible word of God that he has written himself. So that is like God speaking directly to us in a book, right? So when we use that, we can use those scriptures and those verses against the enemy when we feel he is attacking us and his voice is evident in our lives, just like Jesus did. Now, it was, Christy, help me think, maybe 3-4 weeks ago in kids' church where we talked about the temptation of Jesus Christ. And, of course, we didn't have a devil costume back there to play the part of the devil. We had a sleazy car salesman, okay? And he was like, hey, Jesus, why don't you see that rock? Why don't you turn it into bread, eh? Why don't you turn it into bread? Because you're hungry, yeah? You're hungry. Turn it into bread, Jesus. It's okay, do it. All the kids are doing it. All the Jesuses are doing it. You know, you do it. Okay, so it's like a sleazy car salesman. Tom, can you bring that up? That is Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I would be too. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Yeah? Tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered. Now, I'm not going to do a voice for Jesus because that's weird. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus used scripture as a weapon, as a sword, against what the enemy was trying to tempt him with, right? Let's continue. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Come on, Jesus, do it. Just jump off. Just jump off, Jesus. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, Jesus uses a scripture that his Father wrote against the enemy. Let's continue. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Just worship me, Jesus. That's all it takes for all of this. Just worship me. That sounds good, eh? That sounds good. I'll lower the price even. You know? So Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So once again, Jesus uses the Bible scriptures that he has read, that he has memorized against the enemy and against his tactics. Okay, I don't know about you, but one of the best examples that I want to be like in the Bible is Jesus Christ. You know, that is the best example of how we know to do things. Lastly, I want to encourage y'all to keep your guard up at all times. The enemy likes to, he's sneaky, he's sly. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He has been at it for a while. He knows what he's doing. So he will come in at a very low time in your life to try to take you down then. So keep your guard up at all times. What do I mean by that? Is by putting on the armor of God daily. Daily speak it over yourselves. There is power in your words. Speak it over yourself. Read it. Memorize it. Encourage others. That's what we can do. So, in conclusion, this is my first and only conclusion. I am not Pastor Greg. The enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He is good at that because he has done it for a long time. He knows what works with certain individuals. He even knows what works specifically for you, John McCaslett. He knows what works specifically for you, Nancy Verney. He knows what works specifically for you, Kim Babsett. He knows what works specifically for you, Samantha Foley. I hope you're taking notes. Okay. Okay, I don't know what she said. I just said yes. So that is the purpose of the enemy, okay? Some of his tactics include making us believe that his voice is our voice or making us believe that his voice is God's voice, and that's where the counterfeit stuff came in. That's where Misty didn't win the game, okay? But lastly, and most importantly, is that we have the authority to overcome the enemy's voice, because the Lord has deposited that authority into us when we became his children. The moment we said, yes, God, I believe in you and I will follow you, he deposited an authority into us that says that we will not stumble or fall, and we have the authority to say to the enemy, you must flee, and he will go. Because that is the power that Jesus has, and Jesus says, greater things than this you will do also. Amen? That is the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. So let's use it. Let's not sit back and cowardly cave to what the enemy is saying, but let's stand up and boldly proclaim that the enemy has no place in our lives, and we are going to go forward in the name of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray and dismiss. Dear Lord, thank you so much for speaking to us tonight. Thank you so much for this series of voices, Father God, because I know that we constantly hear voices in our minds. I know that we constantly hear things and ask you for answers. And I pray, Jesus, that as we begin to learn more about voices and the different voices there are and how each of them sound, that we will be able to decipher and discern which one is your voice and which one we should go with. I pray, Jesus, that you allow us to put this into practice in our daily lives so we can grow in it. We love you so much, Lord, and I thank you for a wonderful night with the wonderful people of Dominion. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.